time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
To the Pain Clinic for October 31st. Can you ride this music a little bit? Riding the music until we get down. Talking about the holidays today real quick. And October 31st means a lot of things. But what it means to me is it's Carver Pumpkin Day, which is absolutely no surprise. Increase your psychic powers day. And, of course, it's Halloween. Happy Halloween, guys. I am the Cashman. I am joined this week by the Artiste. From Rochester, New York. How you doing, Artiste?
Good morning. Happy Halloween. Hello.
Happy Halloween. And we got Danger
Boy. Put some garlic bread in my trick-or-treat basket.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know what? I mean, boy, I'm going to ask you in a minute what do you think about the odds are people are going to be trick-or-treating. But let me introduce the rest of the cast. Danger Boy, what's up, buddy? You weren't here last week.
No. Good morning. And happy Blue Moon Halloween. So that makes it even more special.
So you've been drinking Blue Moon since you woke up? Is that what you're saying? Oh, no. Sorry.
No, I have a better taste than that.
Yeah. Oh, zing. You don't like the orange, huh? All right, Danger Boy. I like Blue Moons. You can make the black and blues, you know? And also we're joined by Furby from Gates, China? No, Hilton. Hilton, that's right.
Happy Halloween, everybody. How's everybody this morning?
Happy Halloween. What do you guys think the odds of kids are going to be out trick-or-treating today?
69%.
Less and less anyway, even when the world is like normal. So I'm sure some will, but I don't think it's going to be that many.
I think the last time I handed out candy, I had two kids come to my house the entire night.
Really? Did you buy a lot for this one, or are you just kind of going to go, you know, just go with the flow?
I'm going elsewhere.
Oh, I get it. The lights are going to be off at Danger's abode. I got it.
Halloween really sucks for me because I bought extra candy, like Hershey Kisses and M&M's, because I like to snack on it. And now with my gallbladder issue, I can't even have it. So it really sucks.
Oh, man. Well, you know what? You can bring it to us anytime we hook up. You know, like the fact that...
you guys are hooking up?
No. Ferb and I, and you might remember the guy from the show from years ago named Murph. We went to watch UFC 254 last Sunday together, or Saturday together. It was a 2:00 start. And you can always bring handfuls of candy whenever we do something like that again. I promise you.
It's not really going to go bad for a while anyway. So
that's true. You know, you can stick it in the freezer, man. It'll be fine. Just bust it out. I always buy candy I like, and then, you know, this is a secret. If you come to the cash man's house, if you're not wearing a costume, then the cash man reaches into the dum-dum bowl, you know, where you dump, you know, dum-dums, those things that you can get like 100 for like a nickel, you know? So you get dum-dums because you're not wearing a costume. So better be in a costume if you're coming to the cash man's house tonight. Let's talk about world.
So.
You like I don't hate them terribly because I don't really.
Beer ones, cotton candy ones, come on, great flavor choices.
Oh, they have some good flavors.
Yeah. Better than stupid Reese's cups. Anyway, moving on to wrestling.
Wow, Mr. Artiste just throws a heel move.
He just
there.
Went super heel.
That was a heel move.
I hate Snickers too, and Almond Joy and Whoppers and a lot of others.
Well, you can have.
I agree with Almond Joy. Everything else you are incorrect on, sir.
We're not going to argue candy on the Pain Clinic this morning. We're going to talk the world of pro wrestling.
Okay.
Okay, so after the big heel turn by the Artiste, we're going to talk a little bit about Hell in a Cell. We'll start off talking about Hell in a Cell this past week last weekend on WWE pay-per-view, whatever it may be. I will tell you, first of all, looking after watching it, I enjoyed the pay-per-view from beginning to end. I really did not hate anything particularly. Nothing stood out bad. I liked the heel turns. I like seeing the heels come out on top at a pay-per-view, and that's really how it ended. Randy Orton taking the title from Drew McIntyre, which I believe we all were calling for the last time he wrestled on the pay-per-view. We all thought that Randy Orton was going to take it then. They wanted to drag it out another night and put it in Hell in the Cell. The funny thing is, it's like a reset button. But, you know, what really surprised me was Roman Reigns starting the show. You know, starting the show. Not, and I'm not counting the pre-show match with R-Truth and Drew Gulak. But starting the Roman Reigns and Jey Uso. And interesting twist. I think we've seen it before someplace in the past where you threaten somebody else and the other person has to give up because you're threatening, you know, someone they love. But overall, I enjoyed the pay-per-view completely, and now I just want to know is, you know, and we'll talk a little bit about this after we review the pay-per-view, but now you've got Drew McIntyre still as popular as he was before he lost the belt, and now they kind of swerved him off of Randy Orton in a rematch. But Danger, what did you think of the pay-per-view?
I enjoyed it. I think Roman going first was because they were going to have the least physical match in the cage. I mean, based on what we saw from everything else, and, you know, you go in with the untainted cage, you don't have to overstep anyone else when you go in there. So that's one thing, one way to look at that. I mean, the whole Otis Miz thing is stupid, but at least I got the money in the case briefcase off of Otis. And I don't mind Randy taking the belt if what is true or what is being said is true is that it's a way to keep him strong and not have him lose to Roman at Survivor Series.
Yeah, interesting. What do you think, Ferbs?
I actually really enjoyed the pay-per-view. I think WWE's done very, very well these last few months with their shows. Huge, huge, huge fan of Sasha Banks finally taking the title, Grand Slam champ now. So thank the Lord she beat Bayley.
She'll lose it next defense.
Hey, come on now. She's got to hold the title for more than a week this time. Orton taking the title off McIntyre. I thought they had a great match, really physical. And I really liked the way that they did the storytelling with all three of the Hell in a Cell matches. Obviously, the storytelling in the Roman Reigns match was fantastic. All the people that say that match was boring, I'm sorry if you've never watched WWE before. Obviously, there's some storytelling that's involved. So that was fantastic. I was very, very happy with the show this week.
And Mr. Artiste, what did you think of Hell in the Cell?
So my favorite part might have been Drew Gulak on the kickoff show doing the Zandig pose with little Jimmy. I got a big kick out of that. I think the Roman match, the finish was genius. It was really, really well done. I don't know how well you pull off that same kind of match in front of a real crowd. With all of the talking at regular volumes that needs to be picked up by the mics and the cameras and stuff. But I thought that was good. The Sasha Bailey match was really good. Right outcome there. Makes sense for Orton to win the title. That was, I don't know. Like, I guess I understand the ordering of the night. I probably still would have put the Sasha match on last, but with Orton winning a record tying whatever, I don't know, like, I guess I understand that going last. The main event was not my most favorite part of the night, I guess. But overall, not a bad pay-per-view. I mean, definitely some highlights. Everything was at least decent. Some of the stuff was really good. So, but overall, like I said, I think the finish to the Reigns match was just smart to do that. I mean, that was props to whoever came up with that.
Yeah, I mean, we got Reigns as a heel wins by threatening to hurt his brother. Then we've got We don't count the Elias Jeff Hardy. Yeah, whatever. You know, it's Jeff Hardy bashes Elias over the head with a guitar. But then The Miz wins and takes the Money in the Bank briefcase, which we've never seen. You know, we've seen once before, I think, someone put the briefcase up in a match. Only because
Mr. Kennedy,
yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Kennedy did.
And I was going to say, only because Tucker smashed his best buddy, Otis, in the head, going completely heel and causing The Miz to win it, which Miz seemed quite surprised. Sasha Banks thought that was great. It's about time. It had to happen. They couldn't have another pay-per-view without her winning that title, especially against Bayley. It was, they did some cool stuff in the Hell in a Cell. This is Sasha's third or fourth Hell in a Cell match, so she's like the old expert in it. We got that. I think
with Miz winning, like I was one of the only people that liked the Miz winning the title a decade ago. Now it's a little weird. He's in this whole I don't wrestle a lot thing, but I'm with Morrison. Like, it's a weird time for him to maybe get a singles push, but I'm fine with it. I mean, he hasn't been in that picture in so long. And clearly they weren't actually going to do something with Otis. So I'd rather Miz have it than somebody else who's had the belt within the last 5 years or something.
And I think he's due for his time as well, in all honesty. Within the last 5 years, I think this is some of the best work that's been on WWE television. He's one of the best promo guys that the company has. And, you know, he's only really had one, you know, singles run as WWE champion. Why not now? It's funny that we're coming almost full circle 10 years later to the day. You know, they kind of talk about it on TV with them, you know, cashing in at the Amway Center. Well, Survivor Series is November 22nd, 2020. Well, he cashed in on Randy Orton November 22nd, 2010. So
let's
see it happen again.
I kind of thought with him winning the briefcase at Hell in a Cell that there would be a main event that was just super crazy, that he would just cash in that same night, that yeah. Orton or McIntyre would be beat up enough that he could just do that kind of like what Edge did when he cashed in after Cena. The Chamber match.
Yeah, CM Punk cashing in on Jeff Hardy. You might remember he won earlier in the show, and then Jeff Hardy, he came out and beat him in like a minute after he defended his title, or won the title, actually. He won the title and then lost it to CM Punk. That's what I compared it to a little bit. But no, yeah, I agree. You know, I think that you know, I don't know. I mean, honestly, Miz is more known for his TV show than I think he is for being a wrestler. I mean, that's not true. He's a wrestler on the TV show as well, but his reality show. But he spends a lot of time doing that, so that's why it surprised me that they would actually maybe give him an opportunity to win the title. I mean, he may just be a transition champion for somebody else. But
I mean, I hope he successfully cashes in. I'm fine. Like I said, it's something different. Orton wins it again and stuff, but I don't need a long Randy Orton reign right now. So one other set of props to give, and that's just for, I hate on WWE production a lot, but thank you for having a walk around camera inside the cell and a hard cam like mounted to the cell, so we didn't have to look through the ugly red cell the whole night. Because that thing is atrocious, plus all the video screens in the background, just not the easiest night on the eyes.
No, you're right. That is a good thing. I noticed that, too. It's like it was easier on the eyes than other Hell in the Cell pay-per-views they've showed. So kudos to them. I'm going to say we also did have Bobby Lashley beating Slapjack. Of course, once more, the Retribution gets pushed down a little bit. That really didn't mean too much. But and then Randy Orton, of course. Now, where does he go? I guess maybe we'll wait till the next segment. Yeah, why don't we take a break on that? We'll come back, talk a little bit about where they go now after Hell in a Cell, but also we want to talk a little bit of AEW. And Impact Wrestling had their WrestleMania this past weekend as well. It was the Bound for Glory, and we had some pretty wild finishes on that. We'll talk about that on the flip side. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Back to the Pain Clinic. I'm a Cashman with the Artiste, Danger Boy, and Furby, and you, and Elias. And I almost forgot, Elias also wrestled on the pay-per-view at Hell in a Cell last weekend and got bashed over the head by a guitar from Jeff Hardy and won via DQ. So I want to talk a little bit before we get into the impact in AEW this past week. That the Monday Night Raw, they start the show with McIntyre coming out, and then immediately starting a little bit of a feud with him and somebody else who wasn't the guy who took the title from him the night before. And is that them immediately changing direction as soon as they take the belt off this guy? Or what were you guys thinking? Anybody have any thoughts on that on Monday Night Raw?
I think it was a change of direction for the time being because of where they're going. You know, everybody just got drafted to their brand, so now they're completely and utterly loyal to them and are all going to fight for their respective brands at Survivor Series coming up. And they want, you know, you got to have the face of the company, the face of the brand, Drew, leading Team Raw. And you also save them from having to either lose to Reigns or have some kind of shenanigans finish where they don't hurt either one. So I think once they get past Survivor Series, it'll go back towards the way things were trending before. I think it's just a temporary pause.
Yeah, I agree with that. And honestly, I think they kind of kept it in the back of our minds, especially with the way that they closed the show, even with The Fiend being involved with Randy, you know, still Drew, you know, talking about Randy throughout the entire show, talking about how he's going to come out and get his title back, things of that nature. I mean, they still talked about it. I don't think it's been completely written off that he's not going to get his rematch. Maybe not right away. You know, they definitely kept it in the realm of possibilities. You know, Fiend might get his shot, you know, against Randy Orton first. There's some decent storytelling that you can go with there. I mean, obviously they already played with, you know, him burning the house down when Orton was previously feuding with Wyatt back in 2017. So that's, I think, the direction they're going now. And then we'll kind of see where the rest of the roster plays out.
All I really want to say with it is that, like, why does Survivor Series have to be Raw versus SmackDown, champion versus champion? Like, we have, like, Night of Champions, and they had that bragging rights pay-per-view before, but, like, I miss Survivor Series when it was, like, teams of four or five against each other. I don't need it to be the Raw champion against the SmackDown champion in each category. Like, I just don't like that format. To me, that's not what it should be. That's not what Survivor Series used to be for so many years.
Well, another thing about that, you mentioned Survivor Series. What happened to NXT? The guys who finished first last year at Survivor Series. You know, I mean, NXT completely not involved in this pay-per-view.
They're being spared.
They're being spared. Well, you know.
I thought about it at first, and I was kind of upset that NXT was being left off of it. But then if you really go and think of it, who really on NXT right now is really going to compete with the roster of Monday Night Raw or Monday Night SmackDown or Friday Night SmackDown? I mean, you look at the guys that were there last year, they've already been up there. So it's definitely a dwindled down roster on NXT right now. And a couple of your main players are injured. So who knows whether they're going to be ready in time. Yeah, it sucks because it makes it feel like NXT is not on the same level as Raw and SmackDown, that I guess they're supposedly trying to make them feel like they are. But as sour as it is to not see them be a part of it, I think it's the right move because it just wouldn't be the same level of talent, in my opinion.
Oh, well, you know, you make a good point there. I will say that I didn't mention, but when Drew McIntyre came out to start Monday Night Raw, it was The Miz and Morrison who came out. And then Drew McIntyre ended up, you know, beating The Miz pretty much in the ring pretty easily, I think, you know, for McIntyre. And then, you know, and so he kind of did come back to Randy Orton, did readdress him later on the show about that, but I just felt like, you know, it's like we're worried about the setting up the next pay-per-view than we are about where we're left in the storylines that we just... And I mean, I don't see Randy Orton beating Drew McIntyre as the end of a story. I see it at like maybe like the, you know, in a 15-chapter book, it's probably like number 9 or 10, you know? There's got to be more chapters to this book. So hopefully, you know, that they realize their error and come back to that sooner than later. But you know, Survivor Series is one of our favorite pay-per-views, and you know, our good friend Danny's birthday is around there, and if Danny was in town, we'd be able to celebrate a birthday and watching it together. But he's down, trapped down North Carolina, and he would have been with us tonight, except it wasn't for the hurricane that took out his power today, the Zeta down there. So we send our best out to D.C. down in North Carolina dealing with hurricane issues. Let's talk a little bit about Impact's Bound for Glory pay-per-view last weekend. If you had a chance to watch it, you got to see some pretty cool stuff. You know, the show started with the Deaners, and of course you gotta love the Deaners, you know, I mean, from around here, Cody Deaner. I mean, I think Mr. Artiste, you may have gone to a carnival in which he was barking at that you, do you remember that?
Oh, the old WrestleVision Canada Day.
Yeah, Canada Day.
Yeah.
He was barking, and you were you know, you were buying, as they say, you know.
I mean, he's got a good amount of history in this area. Had some very memorable moments in back in the Pier 6 days and stuff too. So I'm a big fan of his, and also, I mean, Jake Something wrestling with him. Cousin Jake is a star on the rise right now too. So. Kind of a little bit of a mix there of a guy, maybe Cody's more of a veteran and Jake's somebody who's just kind of just getting his feet wet right now, but I think he could be somebody that could be a big star in that company in years to come.
Yeah, the cool thing about Bound for Glory was we got Raju, who's a champ, ended up defending his belt. Then we had the Intergender Call Your Shot gauntlet match with a bunch of surprise people popping in, but Rhino winning it in the end. Moose defeated EC3, and you know, EC3, you know, Moose has been carrying that old TNA Impact belt, but the EC3 has been, you know, stalking him, you know, and Ken Shamrock gets knocked inducted into the Hall of Fame. What do we get to see on their free show on Access TV this past weekend? But we get to see Bret Hart, we got to see The Rock, and who was the other one? There was three guys.
Mick Foley.
Three WWE Hall of Famers. Or is The Rock in the Hall of Fame? He's got to be. If he isn't.
Not yet.
But you know, but The Rock, you know, was telling stories about, you know, riding from town to town with Ken Shamrock. I thought that was really cool. And the weird thing is, it wasn't nobody. He probably should have had Jeff Jarrett if he could have, because Jeff Jarrett was the guy who lost the very first title match to him. It wasn't Jeff Jarrett. Who was it? Danger in that very first battle, that gauntlet battle royal they had for it. Was it?
Yeah, Jeff Jarrett got taken out by Toby Keith.
That's right. Toby Keith. If you guys remember, this is back
with the Wall.
That's right, the Wall. The Wall, a guy who's, God bless his soul, someplace else right now. But, yeah, he couldn't have had him cut a promo, I guess. But it was really cool just seeing him, you know, Ken Shamrock going in. And then he beats Eddie Edwards with a submission during the pay-per-view. Got the North, who win back their tag team titles on Impact, which, you know, the North, the best tag team no one's ever heard of in the past year. And surprisingly enough, Deonna Purrazzo loses her belt, but not to who we thought it was going to be. Who was it that she lost it to?
Su Young.
And she was supposed to wrestle
Kylie Rae, who
never showed up, apparently.
Yeah.
I don't even know the story behind that. Has anyone heard anything about that? They couldn't talk about it because they didn't know what happened to Kylie Rae.
Nobody's heard the real story, I guess, in full. I mean, it's like we talked about before, Kylie Rae was on the Collective a few weeks ago in Indianapolis and left early before the final day. They said that was maybe due to a minor injury. Then for Bound for Glory, she shows up with other talent, drives in from Chicago to Nashville on Friday, and then Saturday does not show up at the venue. And people texted her. Apparently she was okay, but outside of that, like originally there were reports that she had a minor injury, then those were said to be false. People are wondering if it's a mental health thing, whatever it is. Hopefully she's good. I think this is after what happened with AEW last year with her and now not showing up for the title match on their biggest show of the year. I think Kylie's career is in serious jeopardy in terms of being anything other than a mid-carder going forward, to be honest. It's a tough situation. Like I said, mental health, number one, hope she's okay and stuff, but it's not a good sign for her career moving forward.
Yeah, it's just it's concerning. Obviously, yeah. With her health, most important, but also the fact that there was lack of communication with it too. Like, there comes a time where even though if you know there's something wrong with you, professionalism, you have to communicate. And I guess Impact standing behind her the whole way. From what I've read, you know, they're fully supportive of her. So I don't think they're just going to drop the ball on her. So we'll see where it goes from here. Hopefully she's all right. Hopefully she gets another opportunity somewhere. And who knows, maybe they end up turning it into a storyline.
Well, I will say one thing. When you're the second to main event match on a card, this is their WrestleMania, and you don't show up. I mean, that says a lot about really, you know, where you're going with this company, you know, and especially when, you know, and then she's okay. So, and
it's a tough situation because, like, she, like you said, you don't want to, like, dwell on it too much and you hope that she's okay. But I also, you got to put yourself a little bit in Impact shoes because, in a way, the situation is extremely unfortunate for Impact. They're kind of screwed over because this is a match that not only is it like you said, like maybe their number two match on the card or whatever, but like I know a lot of people who bought that pay-per-view specifically for that match more than any other. That was the main match of the weekend. I said last week that I was looking forward to.
Yeah, we were talking about that. Yeah,
there's no perfect answer for this, but I do not like the way that Impact handled it. I think at some point you have to set a deadline on Saturday. Like, all right, she's not here. We're moving in another direction. At some point, you have to be a little transparent. You don't have to say exactly what's going on. There's privacy with it and all that kind of stuff. But to wait until literally the match time to then do the, like, card subject to change. And, oh, it's just plenty of people were excited about Su Yung. Me, not so much. But, like, you did not have to wait until that moment to say, hey, Kylie Rae's not here. She's not going to be in the match. Like, I think there were a lot of people that felt kind of, whether it's bait and switch or whatever the case is, a lot of people that paid money for that pay-per-view that did not get what they paid for. And even if you said something early in the show, whatever the case is, you can't be waiting until like 5 minutes before the match to say, oh, well, Kylie's not here. Like, whether they're doing COVID tests, whether they're going over the match with agents, whatever the case is, like, you've got to set like a deadline call time to be like, okay, she's not here. We're doing something else. And now we're telling the fans. Because the reaction on Twitter and everything in that moment when Deonna was out there and now all of a sudden there's no Kylie, the reaction made Impact looked horrible. And it's not their fault, but I don't like the way they handled it at all.
Especially considering they played the video package right before the match promoting the entire thing. It was kind of like, what the heck?
What, they think miracles were going
to
happen?
It's kind of corny of them, to be honest, to still play that.
Yeah. Well, and they had some flubs, too. They had some video flubs that, like, that
pre-show was a disaster.
You really need to cue the tapes up after the 3-2-1, we'll say, you know, things, you know. So, but I will say that we didn't mention that Rich Swann did walk away with a title from Eric Young in the main event. And you know what? We're going to go to break on this, but something happened weird on the next show. Impact's next show after the pay-per-view, and something that, you know, I think we ought to address on the show. So we're going to take a break, and we're going to tease you with that. We'll come back, and we're also still got to talk about Halloween Havoc as well. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. I am the Cash Man with Furby, Danger Boy, and Rob Sanderson, the artiste, and you. Thank you so much for listening. I'm playing a little Pete Dunne music to come back because Pete Dunne showed up. Pete Dunne, Dunn Bear, showed up on NXT this past week, Halloween Havoc, and we're going to get to that in a minute. We do want to talk about what happened on Impact Wrestling on Tuesday night. Impact Wrestling kind of coming off of the pay-per-view. The momentum is going, and they end the show with a wedding. If you had been watching Russell House this summer, which who didn't see some of that? That stuff was great. Russell House with, you know, the, what is it, 12 wrestlers living together and wrestling in matches. And, well, we got to see a wedding that was taking place there. Johnny Bravo, he's marrying someone who's already...
Rosemary.
I was going to say, yeah. And he had asked her to marry him towards the end, or a couple weeks ago. So they get married at the end of Impact, and then the lights go out, and the shot rings out, and the lights come back on, and Johnny Bravo's in the middle of the ring with a gunshot wound to his chest. Tommy Dreamer, dressed up as Animal from LOD, runs in, feels his pulse, looks up, and screams, "No!" And then the show ends. Now, we've never seen murder on any of the TV shows before. I don't know if we really saw it there or not, but
we saw Vince get blown up.
Yeah, he got blown up. He got blown up in the limo, and then they wrote it off real quick, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because someone really killed people.
Yeah. Dundare blowed up. but what do you guys think? I mean, it's like, is that going too far? I mean, listen, Tommy Dreamer is pure comedy, okay? It's hard not to laugh when he does that, but
it was weird because it felt very insensitive, especially with, you know, what kind of times we're in. And it's just, it was one of those things where they were teasing something was going to happen the entire time, whether it was something comical, something, you know, leaving one at the altar type deal. And then to fake kill somebody on air is kind of like, wow, all right, did that really just happen? So they got a lot of questions to answer next week.
That's true. And it's really good cliffhanger type of material. I'll say that.
Felt like I was watching a soap opera.
Danger, you gotta say something.
it's just that it's a soap opera. It's, you know, it's, you can't take it too seriously, and it's they did it in a manner that you don't think he really got killed. So, you know, we'll see what they do. It's a good murder mystery. It's the game of Clue is gonna be played out on Impact.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it because, I mean, it's weird, but, like, obviously it's done in cheesy enough fashion that it wasn't, like, something you're supposed to really believe. Like, it looked like a cheesy 80s movie kind of thing. So, I don't know. Anything that people can do these days that's different, I pretty much give them props for. So, we'll see where it progresses from here, but that's one way to potentially write off a character. So
That's true. I will, and we won't spend too much time on that. Because Impact, you know, I mean, I know that we love Impact, but not enough of you guys out there love Impact. But it's on Access TV every Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, 8 to 10. And then you get an hour of TNA Impact flashbacks, which are incredible stuff. You know, I missed some of those announcers that were working back then. You know, it's just sad that, you know, what we're left with now. But they used to have, like, their serious great announcers, great quality, great, you know, they had, like, world-class wrestlers in there. I'm not saying they don't now, but...
You mean Josh Matthews and Madison Rain don't tickle your fancy?
Not all the time, I will say that. Not all the time. So let's talk a little bit. Let's move a little bit forward. And I do want to do this before we talk about Halloween Havoc. Only because on AEW, there's one thing that kind of stuck out to me a bit on AEW I was watching this week. You know, we did get the rematch with Orange Cassidy and Cody Rhodes. But one thing that stuck out to me was we had the new NWA Women's Champion defending her title, who the last time we saw the championship, it was on Thunder Rosa, which Thunder Rosa was pinned, what, 2 days ago? Was it? I can't.
On Tuesday night.
On Tuesday night, and so we got Thunder Rosa out of the picture of NWA, and it makes me question what is going on. That one, they allowed the new champion to come and defend the title, but two, that Thunder Rosa, you know, lost the title after what a great performance Thunder Rosa had done on Impact a couple weeks. You know, I mean, on AEW a few weeks ago. So, guys, have any thoughts on what was going on with that?
Yeah, it's interesting because obviously Serena Deeb got her rematch against Thunder Rosa on Primetime Live, took the title from Thunder Rosa, and that was the kind of match that started it all off that was on AEW. Then, you know, Serena Deeb being now with AEW is carrying the NWA World's Women's Championship, now defending against Layla Hirsch. So it was, I mean, it's cool. Congrats to Serena. But now there's rumors about where Thunder Rosa is going and why there could potentially be a reason for her dropping the title.
Yeah, there's a the rumor is that she's going to WWE, and but Billy Corgan came out, you know, right after that started happening and goes, she's under contract till 2021. Now, he was also letting people out of contracts earlier this year, so we'll see how that sticks or if he's just trying to save face or something like that. But it's definitely an interesting turn.
Yeah, Thunder Rosa's been kind of teasing it too. But, I mean, the wording was that, like, Billy Corgan said that Thunder Rosa was under contract through 2021, like making it sound like all the way at the end of next year. So, I mean, hopefully at the very least he continues to let people work elsewhere while NWA is not really active. The weird part in this is AEW was taped last Thursday. Primetime Live is still claiming to be live every Tuesday night. Are they really? And if that's the case, did Serena tape the match at AEW and have them like FedEx the belt with Thunder Rosa's face on it and defend it and then actually win the belt a few days later, kind of like an old school, like early 90s WWF, like title changes on house shows before they happen on TV and all that kind of stuff. So the timing of all of that is kind of weird, but congrats to Serena. Obviously she's under AEW contract now too. So I don't know. I mean, I think it, like, the more these companies can work together, the better. And not just Wednesday night, but also Tuesday night on Dark. I mean, we got two really good matches on TV this week from Layla Hirsch, who's been a fast rising star on the indies. She wrestled on Bloodsport as well, Beyond and other places. And I hope they sign her. I mean, the Thunder Rosa WWE thing, like, I want to see Thunder Rosa make it big. WWE does not need more women right now. Yeah. They've got I would like to see her in AEW. Between Impact and AEW, these other places, like, they could use more of the women talent. WWE has too many that they don't know what to do with.
My only thought is I would love to see her stay with AEW or you know, go to AEW. But at the same time, if you're looking at it from her perspective, who's she going to wrestle? There's really not the talent there. In all honesty, if you're a woman wrestler, I'd rather go to Impact than AEW right now because they have a better women's division.
But at least in AEW, you can go in and you can be the star of that division and you can try to help. There's got to be like building blocks. So you can bring somebody else in. That can encourage more people to make that decision as opposed to maybe the Deonnas who decide to go with Impact, whatever. I totally get what you're saying with that. I just feel like if you have a chance, like Deonna, for example, like I don't know what her contract is in Impact, but she is good enough where she could be the star on TNT every Wednesday night too. She could be leading that women's division. Instead, that women's division is a disaster right now. Their best matches aren't even for the AEW women's title. They've been for the NWA title, which is just ridiculous, kind of. I mean, you've got another pay-per-view coming up in a week, and you're just like, oh, Sheeta says one sentence, and all of a sudden it's her and Nyla Rose, which is like the least interesting women's match yeah. of anything we're talking about here.
You're right.
And she's not better. I don't want to take it away from her, but the booking that they've done with her has been terrible, and they're not giving her like actual storylines and quality opponents.
Yeah, they just keep giving her match after match after match, and nothing actually gets built up out of it. One thing that I did want to say about Layla Hirsch, though, is she was actually scheduled to wrestle in Beyond's tournament for tomorrow with Wheeler Yuta, then got pulled because of injury. So I'm wondering if she got injured in that match. Then that show gets canceled altogether. So it was unfortunate circumstances, obviously, with everything that's going on. GCW still has two shows that weekend that I'm supposed to be going to, so I'm looking forward to that. But, you know, good stuff from Layla. Hopefully she's okay, and, you know, we'll see her back on TV soon.
Bring your spacesuit if you don't want to get COVID-19. I'm just saying, you know. But
there's probably two of the only indie shows happening in this country the rest of 2020 because, he said, Beyond is done for the year. A lot of companies, a lot of wrestlers have just said, I'm done for the year. Obviously, it's a little tougher to do too many outdoor shows now that the weather's turning too. But
yeah, and one of those shows is actually indoor on Sunday, and the Beyond show is supposed to be indoors as well. So,
Okay, well, you know, we didn't get a chance to get to Halloween Havoc yet, but we're gonna take a break here because I do want to mention, though, we didn't mention on Impact Wrestling that Cowboy James Storm also showed up in that match, Call Your Shot match. So Cowboy James Storm returns to Impact Wrestling. I can't remember, he was there a couple of years ago, been on the, you know, I mean, WWE courted him, he was on NXT, he went back to Impact, so we'll see what happens with him, if it's a long-term thing or maybe just a one-show thing, you know, to spike the crowd. But we love James Storm, great guy. Interviewed him once, but he was in the hills of I can't remember, Tennessee or something, and his phone kept breaking up, so we never really got the interview done, but he was cool enough to do an ID for the show. So on that note, we're going to take a break. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. I am the Cash Man with the Artiste, Furby, and Danger Boy, and you. And God, we got one segment left. This hour goes by so fast when we get talking about stuff. I do want to mention as we're coming back that if you're a fan of Maven Huffman, you might remember him from Tough Enough, the very first Tough Enough winner, I believe. He's going to be showing up on the new WWE show, The Bump, which I've never heard. But I ought to check it out sometime. It's on, you can check out The Bump on the network. Maven Huffman, you know, Maven, famous for knocking The Undertaker out of a battle royale at WrestleMania. I think that's about the highlight of his career. One other thing, too, before we get back to talking about Halloween Havoc. I don't know if you saw the video, the viral video this past week of this backyard wrestler who breaks both of his legs jumping in the ring. I don't know if you saw that, but a bunch of people, Chris Jericho, Nick Jackson, and Joey Janela have all give money to the guy. Have you guys seen that? I mean, that's vicious. Yeah. That is absolutely...
Yeah, people got to stop posting it because I've seen it like 100 times and I don't want to see it anymore.
Yeah, I don't either. I saw it once, and it's like, ooh. It reminded me of
Sid. That was good enough for me.
It reminded me of Sid Vicious when he broke that leg.
That was much worse than Sid's. And I just got to know what's wrong with him to begin with to have his legs do that.
Yeah, I know.
He had something medically wrong with him.
And stuff. Like, it's that bad of an injury. Like, ugh. I don't even want to think about it.
Yeah, so don't go look for it, but to take our word on it, it's pretty stomach turning. That's pretty gross. So, okay,
I will say, though, you mentioned those names that donated. Those are some of the names that I see pop up on like every indie wrestling related GoFundMe. So, I wish Jericho's name didn't pop up on another donation thing. We won't get into that, but like the props to those guys that are always kind of popping up and helping. Maybe the less fortunate indie guys or whatever. So,
speaking of Mr. Artista, happy election day coming up to all of us. And I know exactly what you're talking about with Chris Jericho. But we won't talk about that. I want to talk about Halloween Havoc before we run out of time. Halloween Havoc, it was five matches this past Wednesday. NXT, it beat AEW head-to-head. It beat it's been a while since AEW has lost to NXT. But it was a well-thought-out match. It was a well-thought-out night. We got a lot of exciting matches. We had Spin the Wheel make the deal on two of them. The first match, which was Damian Priest versus Johnny Gargano. Devil's Playground, which I wasn't really sure the rules about that, but...
It was a false count anywhere, no disqualification match.
Pretty much, yeah. That's what they were doing.
Yeah, they didn't give any of the rules in that match until like 5 minutes in. So I was like, okay.
Yeah, so we got that, and we got and so Damian and Johnny Gargano, I believe, new champion now, winning that.
Two-time champion, first ever two-time North American champion.
Yeah, it was kind of fun. It was watching. I mean, it's hard. It was like an ECW pay-per-view. Everything was very hardcore.
You know what? I liked the set. They actually went out and did the set for one of these WCW pay-per-views that they're ripping off, and they did it pretty well.
Damian Priest went through the roof of the house, you know.
Hit with a tombstone.
It hit by a tombstone.
An actual tombstone.
Gargano did need to destroy the pumpkin that early in the night, though.
Yeah, I know. He popped.
Yeah, that was a bit quick.
Yeah, I wanted to see that pumpkin go a bit longer. But so that was a starting match. It went 20 minutes or so. We did have a commercial break during it. Then we got
two of them.
Yeah, two of them. That's right.
I hated that. I hated two commercial breaks during that match.
Then we got Santos Escobar taking on Jake Atlas in a singles match. And when, if you blinked your eye, you missed it. About 3.5 minutes, which led up to the Haunted House of Terrors match with Dexter Lumis versus Cameron Grime. I love Cameron Grime, but I don't need to hear him whimper like he was on TV for as long as he was. You know, it's like he's wandering the roads whimpering. So
I was going to say I would have really liked to see them two have a match together, actually in a ring. However, with the circumstances of being Halloween Havoc, I thought that was actually a very good cinematic match. It was, I thought it was, there was a lot of pieces to it that was I really liked. So very well done.
And then it ended in the ring, of course, with the zombies coming out of the graveyard and everything. Dexter Lumis does have the insane look, so I give it to him. And I like Cameron Grimes just because Cameron Grimes can wrestle, man. The guy can, I think JB has a lot to do with some of these shows sometimes because he knows these guys from when they were down to Impact.
Yeah. Well, Cameron Grimes has a personality, too.
He does.
He stands out.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Cameron Grimes as well. I really, really like him.
To the moon, baby!
What do you think, Artiste? Do you get a chance to see the Lumis-Grimes match, whatever it was?
I'll be honest. I mean, I watched, like, up until the Michael Hayes appearance after...
The Three Birds.
After, like, I watched Dynamite Live, and then I watched some of NXT after that, but that's around when I have stopped watching so far, so...
Sure. Well, then we got Rhea Ripley and Raquel Gonzalez. And I thought, you know what? Two big ladies wrestling. That wasn't bad. I didn't hate it.
It was a pretty good match. I actually give Raquel Gonzalez props. She looked like she belonged there.
I was going to say, for the first exposure to Raquel with a legitimate opponent, it was nice to see. It was an impressive match. She looked good in the ring with Rhea, and Rhea's a top competitor, former champion. I mean, NXT champion, NXT women's champion. UK women's champion. So to see that competition for her, she lived up to the hype there.
Of course, then we had Io Shirai in the last match defending her title against Candice LeRae in a tables, ladders, and scares match. And it was good. A lot of great moments. I think, you know, Candice LeRae is a bump machine. That's all I can say.
That bump at the end was crazy.
She's a bump machine. Yeah.
When she went through that ladder, I was like, oh.
That was a long way down. That was like on top of a ladder to the ladder outside the ring. You know, that was a long way down.
The way she hit the ladder too looked like it could have been a lot worse than it probably was.
Yeah, so but that was a fun night. It definitely deserved to win the ratings. It was well worth the effort. Everyone put in 1,000%, and even the crowd. They had a crowd there. There definitely was more than just wrestlers in the crowd. I could see little kids dressed up like Rick and Morty. I could see, so there was more than a few people in there, which was pretty cool. I hope they do.
I think they've had fans for at least the last 2 weeks that I've seen from when I was watching.
Yeah, they had their little fan pods in there. I think they said they were letting 100 people in, but they were all screened and everything beforehand.
Yeah.
But they have pods that they stand in, so they're not next to anyone who's not part of their group.
Yeah, that was pretty cool because it's like, because they're all along the edges of the ring on the alleged, it's like the glass behind the ring. So looked pretty cool. I had a good time. It was a fun time. I got to get some news before we get out of here because we're up against it. Eric Bischoff makes another appearance on AEW this week. Maybe if they promoted it, maybe more people might have watched. He came out and interjected himself into the town hall segment, which was pretty cool. And it was nice. I think Eric Bischoff, you know what? He's a good investment if AEW is going to spend some money because, he knows these guys. He knows Jericho. He knows, and MJF is like, just gold right now. You can't hurt that. It's been a lot of fun watching. I can't wait. Now we finally got a definitive match that's going to be coming down at Full Gear between Chris Jericho and MJF. We're going to talk about that a lot next weekend because that is next weekend is when it is. We got one more show to build it up, and they've got a pretty good show to build it up. Chris Jericho is going to be on commentary, going to have a Sammy Guevara Ortiz versus MJF Wardlow match, Miro versus Trent, Scorpio Sky's taking on Shawn Spears, Cody Rhodes and the Gun Club versus the Dark Order. Yay! And John Moxley and Eddie Kingston meet face to face. If you haven't believed in Eddie Kingston yet, maybe you will after that little face to face coming up. We did mention earlier Pete Dunne is back. He is back, and get ready for more Pete Dunne to breaking fingers and being a bad guy and the whole thing.
I love him. I love him taking the spot for Ridge Holland being injured in that. It's a big upgrade.
I was going to say, it makes it seem more credible, that little faction there, because Ridge Holland was basically a nobody at this point because he really hadn't been on TV.
Well, we got to get out of here. I want to thank you guys. Thank you, Mr. Artis. Thank you, Mr. Danger Boy. And thank you, Mr. Furby. It's another week in the books. Next week, we are going to be promoting, yes, Full Gear next weekend. Maybe we'll get someone on. Who knows? I doubt it. I ask. They say no. So, but thank you so much for listening. You can hear all our old shows on thepainclinic.net as well as on iTunes. And you guys have a great week. Have a safe Halloween. Go out and vote on Tuesday. And we'll be back next week with you right here on Fox Sports 1280.